Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to thank you all for coming back out. This is Babylon Song. I go by the name of Yin.
Yeah, he know. That's Blog Talk.
First of all, let me start off by giving thanks and praise to the Most High Creator, ancient the days of Lahalu. No Muhammad, Selassie's a Jesus for you to pray to. They hate you, try to paint everything, moving will awake soon. Let me gone by day two. See, I'm palm in the arm and the shape too. Flex moves, staying calm like I can't lose. I brought a camp full of soldiers. I'm gonna snap show, yeah, I got an army in Shang Tsung. Sun Tzu, all the war, how I make moves. Pay dues from the parts of the day who. What about the armies of the true living God? We got soldiers, move up until I make room. Our enemies like bread. I'ma need a fourth plate, spoon, knife, and a hang too. Hebrew, the light, some spice, say he ain't Jew. I'm Yehuda Dean, ask Edom if it ain't true. I set a bait like I'm trying to catch lake food. Pray for patience, cause I hate to debate fools. The time is coming, you will see a book today's news. America is now following the slave rules. All the birds are against the white one. Take them out like the 8-ball when you play pool. We inside to make a move. With eyes to be a dyke if you want to be gay, cool. Babylon, you're wrong. Too many nations to name, you done slain when you came to. Probably want to send me out to somewhere out of space. Movie, y'all bring me back, saving tunes so they fake doom. So my lineage is chosen. I try to have a heart of David, integrity of Joseph. Fake food. Like Abraham, strong like Samson and meek like Moses. Watch this like Daniel, perfect like Noah and Job. I hope I can walk like Enoch, come back like Elijah. Her horse is dying, what are my lions waiting to wake in the sleeping giant? 400 years in the comatosis, the soul reviving. No more dry bones, the low, hopeless and rotten. Instead of stone, headed home like it's no other. Yahya,
Yahya, Hawa, Ella, hey, new breed blessings and by the Quaalude. Creator, earth is in space, play man. Righteousness only wicked.
this man-made doctrine is all of what religion is. No addition or contradicting what y'all has mentioned. It ain't no need for multiplication or long division. No subtraction or any other type of mathematics. Just trusting Yahweh's word and what he say will happen.
It's the delight of my soul, the only thing that controls. This is the sweetest of roll that I ate in this hole. You know it's the Almighty, the one who's always right. But you see the light in the sky, you know it's day. And then it's night when the lesser light shines. It's the most sublime, the most profound, the illest sound. Never heard round this town, around this globe. It be the Torah of Yahweh Elohim.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving our praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah for another day, another week that he has even allowed us through his great mercy to bring you another beautiful program of nothing but the truth. And it is true. All you're going to get is the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Israel of the House of Israel, located here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Today, again, once again, I have my beautiful brother right beside me, Moray Isha Yisrael. Hallelujah, shalom, brother.
Hallelujah, shalom.
And let us say shalom to all the beautiful brothers and sisters that's listening by the way of internet, Facebook, YouTube, as well as Raw Talk. And there's no doubt in our mind, the only reason why you're listening, it is because of your fear towards Elohim. So we praise the mighty Yah for your presence. Before I get started, once again, I want to remind everyone to make their reservations for our upcoming conference, the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High. This conference is held three times a year. all over the United States. This summer, it will be held here in Cincinnati, Ohio, July the 20th through the 23rd. You can make your reservations by going straight to our website, www.worldgatheringyisrael.org, worldgatheringyisrael.org, and get all our conference information. And you don't want to miss it. It is vitally important, a very important conference. We will be located at the Best Western Plus, Hannaford Inn. That is the hotel name. Hannaford Inn and Suites, Best Western Plus, which is located in the Kenwood area of Cincinnati, Ohio. Again, we're running out of time for reservations, so please make your reservations, even if you're just thinking about coming. And if for some reason you cannot make it because of economic reasons, give us a call, and we will see if we can help in any kind of way. Or just give me a call, 919-931-6216. And let me just briefly let you know what the subject matters are for this year's conference. Well, the first subject that we're going to concern ourselves with is what and who is an elder? This is a very important question because when Moses went to the people, the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, he was directed to the elder. So you just only can imagine that whoever will lead the children of Israel in this day and time, surely you're going to go to the elders. But who are the elders? Do the elders know who the elders are? Or do those who think they're elders know who elders are? Is an elder someone just old? This is what we're going to discuss. Number two, who and what is a watchman? We have a lot of teachers in Israel. We have a lot of people calling themselves Kohanim and priests and princes and Moreis and all other kinds of titles. Are they the watchmen? And if they are they fulfilling their responsibility? So we're going to discuss this. And thirdly, we're going to also discuss how would Israel know the king of Israel? Surely there are certain things and certain signs and certain things that have to be identified in order for us to know our king. Will Yahweh himself tell you in your sleep or in your ear? Would you be looking for him to do certain things? Or is he able to tell you that I'm the king of Israel and you're supposed to believe me? So we're going to discuss, how do we know the king of Israel? And of course, we want to also know this. And you'll read it in the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Let us turn it so you can see the vast amount of discussions that we will have. And they all are relevant. Matter of fact, they all are relevant, very relevant for the last days. Can you imagine being a watchman and you not warned or you told the wrong thing about Jacob's trouble, as many of our people are being deceived as we speak today about Jacob's trouble? So it is my hope and prayer that you pay close attention and that you will have the fear of Yah to join us at our conference. In the book of Isaiah 42, verse 1, this is what it says.
Behold, my servant, whom I have upheld, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth.
And who is this one? Who is this elect? Who is the servant that Yahweh is upholding? And who is this one, this elect, this servant that Yahweh so delighteth in? Would not you want to know who this is, since Yahweh himself so delighteth in this one? Surely, I would like to know. I might already know, but we don't discuss it. Continue reading.
I have put my spirit upon him.
We know he don't have the spirit of the Most High, because Yahweh said he delights in his soul so much that he's going to put his spirit in him.
He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles.
Yes, he's going to bring judgment to the Gentiles. And if you don't know what a judgment is, keep listening, because we want to discuss it.
He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street.
It's not like these preachers and other people where they got to protest and cry and complain to the government about what they're not getting.
A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench.
So he don't have to get out there and start breaking stuff, and so he can be noticed, so he can be heard, so he can make a name for himself. And he's not going to be led by his anger.
He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law.
And this is one of the things I often hear as I go around the country talking to various people, and particularly various leaders. Many of them, the mass majority of them, are discouraged. They're discouraged. Even the leaders themselves are looking for leadership. And they're discouraged. The people are discouraged. But Yahweh's servant will not be discouraged, nor will he fail until he do what he was sent to do, and that's to bring judgment to truth. And we're going to talk about that. So please join us at our conference. If you want to join us on this program, you have any comments or questions at all, call us at 347-838-8963. 347-838-8963. And press the number 1 on your phone. And when we get finished with our presentation, if you have any comments or questions, we will come right to you. What are we discussing tonight? What have Yah gave us, taught us, and prepared us to teach you for? Well, tonight we're going to discuss what we've been discussing in hopes that everyone will hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Yahweh has order. And Yahweh's order is his way. And everything about the ways of the Most High are about time and season. And for every time, there's a season. And for every season, there's a purpose. And Yah desired you to know the time and season. Because once you begin to learn time and season, then you know you will also begin to learn purpose. And every day, our people are waking up without purpose. But we're going to give you back purpose about every time and every season. For example, this is what it says in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 30th chapter. In the book of Proverbs 30, this is what it says in verse 5 and 6.
Every word of Elohim is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
And this is what we have to come to the understanding of. Every word of Elohim is pure. And I mean every word. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And we're going to teach you how to trust the Most High rather than trust yourself, rather than to trust your own heart, rather than to trust your own wisdom, your own understanding, rather than to trust the lies of those who might come before you claiming that they have been sent by the Most High. But it's something important you must possess in order for you to receive how to trust in the Most High. And we're going to deal with that. For the last various months, we've been teaching you about Yah's order, his rank and file. Because if you understand the rank and file of the Most High, then you will understand from that rank and file, you will have the understanding and the knowledge that you need to serve the Most High. And right before I show you these scriptures, get right into it, let me show you one more thing in the book of Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. Because what we're really teaching you is the conclusion of the whole matter. But we're organizing it for you. And I pray that you receive it. And watch what this says in the book of Jeremiah 9, the 24th 23rd verse, starting there.
Thus saith Yah, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches.
And Yahweh is going to let you know the very thing that he wants you to glory in. As a matter of fact, there is nothing that Yahweh wants you to glory in above or beside what he's about to tell you. And watch what he says.
But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me.
See, you've got to understand and you've got to know the Most High. You have to do that. If you desire to be a part of his remnant, and we're going to show you how that looks, and we're going to show you in what order you should receive it. And what do it say?
That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am Yah, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith Yah.
See, these are the things that Yahweh delights in. So if he delights in these things, then there are certain things you're going to have to know so you can exercise the very thing that he exercised. And that is loving kindness, and that is judgment, as well as righteousness in the earth. And watch this. I just want you to see the ways of the Most High. And we're going to start reading in the book of 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. Again, what are we discussing tonight? What are we bringing forth to you that you might understand? Well, we're teaching you the ways of the Most High. And we're putting it in an order so you can really learn how to exercise the ways of Yah. His ways are found in everything. And no matter what we read to you and where we turn to you at, it's going to highlight and demonstrate his way. This is why the Almighty often tell our people, don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Because if you do, you're going to find yourself out of the way of Yah. And let me show you his way. In the book of 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, watch what it says. And we're going to start reading at the 8th verse.
These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonites that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adina, the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time.
Now listen to this. Here David had a servant of his, one of his chief men, chief of all his men. And this man, who was the top Monite, chief of his men, chief of his captains, whose name was Adino, the Eznite. He lifted up his spear against 800 men whom he slew at one time. This is a man. Now, imagine you got 800 men coming against you, and you slew them at one time. At the same time, one man. What was he on? What did he possess? And what does this mean? Well, like I've been telling you, like I've been teaching you, the ways of Yah, how Yah ordered everything, because this man was the chief. This man was the first of David's captains. He possessed something that all of us should attempt to possess in every way. How can a man, one man, kill 800 people at one time? I can see if he took something and made the columns move and they was all under the roof like Samson, and then the roof fall on their head. See, I can understand that. I can understand throwing a grenade in the crowd and they all get blown up. I can understand that. I can even understand if a man had a machine gun with 1,000 bullets in it and then kill 800. I can understand that. But how can a man with one sword kill 800 men at one time? Well, there's only one way he can do such a thing. He has to have sound wisdom. The scriptures say wisdom is better than weapons of war. And this is the one thing our people don't want. They want to learn how to fight, but they want to learn how to fight without wisdom. You can't fight and then get wisdom. No, you have to get wisdom and then learn how to fight. This is what the chief man was able to do under David. Now you can see why David loved these men, because he knew Yah was with these men. Watch this second one. And before we go to the second one, I just want you to see this real quick so you can understand. Well, let's get to the second one. Then I show y'all about this wisdom. Watch this. Continue reading.
And after him, verse 9, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Hoite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And Yah wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil.
Yeah, here's a man who defied the Philistines, and this man killed so many people, smote so many Philistines, that typically speaking, man's hands get tired, his hand is going to drop the sword. Here is a man that refused to stop killing until, and he was killing so long, the scriptures say his hand clave to the sword. And let me tell y'all what that means. That means his hand and the sword became one. They became one. In other words, now his arm was just a sword. And why is that relevant? Why is it relevant that a man is able to kill 800 men at one time? It is to say he killed 800 men. Anybody can kill 800 men. They had the right weapon. But all he had was a sword. And he killed them at one time. And y'all can't even imagine how he did it. How can you kill 800 men at one time with a sword? Well, the only way you're going to know, you got to have wisdom. Because that's what he employed to do it. Man, hand clave to a sword because he killed so many that now the sword in his hand became one. In other words, when he first started killing, the sword and him was two devices. And these two devices began to work as one. And they clave together. Like what the Almighty commanded our people. He told Adam, he said, Adam said, when a man leave his father and his mother, he shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one. That's what a man and a woman is supposed to do. They're supposed to become one. Yahweh said, he said, you shall love me and cleave unto me. You and Yahweh supposed to be one because you're supposed to cleave unto Yah. As this man cleaved unto the sword, and they became one. These two became one. And why is that relevant? I just want you to see something. Go to the book of Job real quick. Just so you can see what I'm trying to tell you and what I'm trying to teach you. In the book of Job, the 40th chapter, this was a time where the Almighty was reproving Job. And this is what he said to Job in Job 40, starting at verse 6. Watch what it says.
Then answered Yahweh unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Will you also disannul my judgment? Will you condemn me that thou mayest great be righteous? As thou an arm like Elohim, or can thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath. And behold everyone that is proud, and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee.
Yeah, see, when you and Elohim, when you're the Most High, that's why the Creator said, I kill and I make alive. And there's none that can deliver out of my hand. And this is what the Almighty is telling Job. Look, if you can bring the proud and the wicked low and hide them in the dust as I do, then I'll confess unto you. But Job knew he couldn't do such a thing, because no man can do such a thing. If Yah wants you to live, you shall live. But if Yah wants you to die, you're going to die. And watch what the Creator says to further admonish Job.
Verse 15. Behold now, behemoth.
Who is this behemoth? If you go by the wicked, you go by the nations, you go by the concordance, you go by these people who call themselves can explain the word of Yah, they say behemoth is some will say some dinosaur. Then you got others who will say behemoth is some dumb animal. He's like an ox. He's just a big dumb ox. But watch what the Almighty say about behemoth. Continue reading.
Behold now behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox.
Yeah, he eats grass like an ox, but this is no ox at all.
Lo, now, his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the waves of Elohim.
Isn't the scripture say he is the chief of the waves of Elohim? If you want to know what the chief of the waves of Elohim, then you want to know who this behemoth is. Because he is the chief of the waves of Elohim.
He that made him can make his sword to approach him.
In other words, this behemoth is so fierce, so full of strength, that man can't even kill him. The only one that can kill him is the Most High. Or unless you possess something that he possesses. So no, this ain't no dumb beast at all. By no stretch of the imagination. Continue reading.
Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reed, the amphins, the shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass about him. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not.
Yeah, he don't have to rush, because who's going to stop him?
He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth.
He's not going to get fooled. So he can drink the whole river.
He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierces through snares.
In other words, this thing is so piercing, so fierce, so strong. What man can dare come against this beast? And I thought man had dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and the beast of the earth. But what man can approach this behemoth, who is the chief of the waves of Elohim? What would you use? What weapon is formed against you. Well, there's only one weapon. And let me show you what that weapon is in the book of Proverbs, the 9th chapter. In the book of Proverbs, the 9th chapter, the very first verse says what?
Wisdom had built her house.
She built her house.
She had hewn out her 7 pillars.
That's why the scripture said, wise woman builded her house, but the foolish plucked it down with her hands. Scripture says, through wisdom is the house built, but by understanding it is established. So wisdom had built her house. She had hewn out her 7 pillars.
She had killed her beasts. She had mingled her wine. She has also furnished her table.
In other words, she done killed her beasts. You can't kill no behemoth unless you have wisdom. For wisdom is better than weapons of war. But why don't we understand that? And why are we not taking hold unto wisdom and seizing it and search for her as in we search for gold? Every day we go trying to make money. But do we every day search wisdom? This Adino had wisdom. He killed 800 men at one time. One time. This Eleazar killed until the sword clave unto his hand. Where they was two, they became one. But let us turn back, because I want you to understand what wisdom and understanding and knowledge will do. And you're going to see how Yah order everything, because what's after knowledge? Watch this in the book of 2 Samuel 23. We're going to continue reading at the 11th verse.
And after him was Shema.
And this order, this is not ordered by man. I know it looked like David put this order together, but did you not know the scripture says Yahweh ordered the steps of the righteous? Because Yahweh is our order. And the reason why, because the order is going to teach you this oneness. Continue reading.
And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils.
And you notice this is the third chief. No wonder Yah do on the third day. Did not he make the earth? Did not he make the grass? Did not he make the trees and the herbs of the field? And here it is, the third chief. We see the second chief him and this war became one. The two became one. Because there is nothing, absolutely nothing. Yahweh said, let every matter be established by how many witnesses? Two or more witnesses. Why did Adino, why was he able to kill 800 people at how many times? One time. Because he was first. He was the chiefest of all. And here we got the third chief, and watch what he did.
But he stood, I'll read verse 11 again. And after him was Shema, the son of Agizaharite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and Yah brought a great victory.
All he did was protected a hole full of lentils for the people. And he was able to do it. Why? Because he had knowledge. Why? Because obviously he had understanding. And why? Because he had the main thing that Yahweh said we should get, and that's wisdom. And you can't have understanding nor knowledge without wisdom. That's why the Creator said, "In all right, you can get understanding." And if our people did not do what Yahweh said. In other words, if they would not have ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then we wouldn't even need knowledge. All we would need is wisdom and understanding. But soon as we began to forsake the Most High, as we did, now, today, we have to be able to discern between the good and the evil. And I may add, brothers and sisters, the evil is winning out. And why? Because our people love knowledge so much that they want it in spite of the fact that is good and evil. Then watch the next one. Continue reading.
Verse 13 or verse 12. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and Yahweh wrought a great victory. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim.
And you notice this is the fourth incident that they're telling you about. And if you've been watching, and if you've been listening, you know what the fourth represents. You know what the fourth means. It means praise Yah, or praise it. And watch what happens. Watch how they demonstrated their praise for the Most High.
And David was then in a hole, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines, and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it, and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out to Yahweh.
Yeah, he didn't drink that. Here these three men put their life on the line, broke through the garrisons of the Philistines. In other words, whatever they wanted to do with the Philistines, they did it. even though the Philistines was mighty, mighty warriors. So if they wanted to protect a hole full of lentils, they did it. If they wanted to kill 800 men at one time with one man, they did it. If they wanted to kill them by making sure everyone was dead until the sword played to their head, they did it. And if they wanted to get water for the king, they did that. And if you know anything about the fourth, the Almighty said 3 years are fruit supposed to be uncircumcised. But in the fourth year, we can praise Yah with it. But in the fifth, we can eat that it might yield as an increase. So our people knew at the fourth, that's something you weren't supposed to drink and eat anyway. That was something you praised Yah with. And this is exactly what David did. Continue reading.
And he said, be it far from me, O Yah, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the name among three.
In other words, he Abishai, brother Joab, son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them. He slew one man, which is a great feat in of itself. Just to slew 300 by yourself. And he was the fifth. Because he was very blessed, and not just blessed, but as I stated before, matter of fact, the first thing the Almighty said he blessed in the scriptures was the sea creatures and the fowl of the air. And let me tell you when that was on the fifth day. No wonder this man was able to kill 300 by himself. But watch what else happened. Continue reading.
Verse 19. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabizeah, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab.
Yeah, these are not lions. These are two lion-like men of Moab. In other words, these men were like lions. That's how fierce they were. But he slew them. He killed them.
He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow.
And not only he slew men, but he slew animals. What do you think the Almighty made on the sixth day? The sixth time. And this is the sixth chief man. Slowing animals as well as men. And watch what else he did.
And he slew an Egyptian. A goodly man.
This man was a goodly man, meaning he was complete in everything. This man was a complete package, a complete warrior, a complete soldier.
And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff.
And look, he didn't even, the Egyptian had a spear. All he had was a staff.
And plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spirit.
Yeah, he's born with his own spirit. Just took it from him. That's like the man coming down with a knife. You got a gun, and he take the gun and kill you. Why? Because this man undoubtedly was the sixth chief man. And the Almighty said, that's the time where he blessed man and beast. And he slew both. Continue reading.
These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard.
In other words, these men were great, but the first three was unbelievable. Now, why was the first three so great? And why was the first three above everyone? And nobody could attain him to the first three. Because the first three are chiefs of the ways of the Most High. Number one, you got a man killing 800 men. That's wisdom. You got a man that would kill so many people, the sword cleave unto his hand. The Almighty said the sword is one of his judgments that he will bring upon the earth. And then the third, Shema, was able to protect the lentils, food, hole in the ground, and everybody trying to get to him, get to the food, so they can make the people starve and couldn't do it because of one man. Because this was Yahweh's wisdom, his understanding, his knowledge that these three possessed. No wonder nobody could attain to the first three. But watch the set.
Ahaziel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem.
Yes, it looked like it didn't say nothing about Asael. He was the 7th. And I said, well, why didn't it say anything about Asael? What's going on with him? Surely he got to be great since he is the 7th. We know what the 7 rest represents. It represents rest. It represents Yahweh's completeness. Because he completed everything in 6 days and rested the 7 days. It represents Yah's sanctification. For he blessed the 7 days and sanctified it. Surely the 7 got to mean something. So as I often do, I search for wisdom. And this is what the Creator showed me in searching for wisdom, so that I could know his order, his ways, that he desires us to take hold to. But we have to have order. Because once you have order, then you have purpose. And once you have purpose, then you have meaning. And if you have meaning, then there is no reason why you can't serve Yahweh and be thou perfect. Isn't that a commandment? Isn't that a law? Did not he tell us that in the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter? Be thou perfect. But watch what it says about this Asael. Since we're in the book of 2 Samuel, go to the 2 Samuel, the second chapter. And start reading at the 18th verse.
And there were three sons of Zariah there, Joab, and Abishai, and Asahel. And Asahel was light, was as light of foot as a wild growth.
Yeah, this is how they describe Asahel. He was as light foot as a wild growth. And he's going to tell you the fastest thing, the fastest animal, and the fastest thing is a leopard, a cheetah. And that's who they say this cheetah man is so fast that they compare him to cars. That's how fast this cheetah is. But not so with Yah. You'll never read where Yah say, be like a cheetah. Watch what Yah say. Continue reading.
And Asahel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, Art thou Asahel? And he said, I am. And Abner said to him, Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, but take thee his armor. But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said again to Asahel, Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother?
Yeah, because Asahel was so fast, Abner knew he couldn't get away. So he knew the only thing he could do with this young fella called Asahel is kill him. Of course, that's what he did. Even though Asahel was one of the mighty men, but he was a young mighty man. And Abner was an old mighty man. But he was so fast, he couldn't get away from this man. And why? Because the scriptures say he was lighter foot as a wild roe. Just show you what this means so you can understand why he was a savage. Watch what it says in the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter. In the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter, watch what it says in the 10th verse.
Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter.
Yeah, it says deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter.
And as a bird from the hand of the fowler.
And as a bird from the hand of the fowler. In other words, anytime the scripture is talking about delivering yourself, it will go right to this roe. Because undoubtedly this roe was very fast and very skilled in protecting his life. So skilled. The scripture teaches us this is how one should deliver themselves. Watch in the book of Isaiah, the 13th chapter, because you don't understand it in these last days. You don't understand nothing. You don't understand this. Because this is about your life. This is how you deliver yourself, because this is about your life. In the book of Isaiah, the 13th chapter, starting at the 13th verse, watch what it says.
Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of Yah's host and in the day of his fierce anger.
And yeah, in other words, Yah said he's going to shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of Yah's host, in the day of its fierce anger.
And it shall be as the chaste robe.
And it shall be as the chaste robe. Because the prey, the animals, they want to get this robe. So it's going to be as a chaste robe. There's nothing more tender than the chaste robe.
And as a sheep that no man taketh up, they shall every man turn to his own people and flee everyone to his own land.
In other words, what the Creator is letting you know, you better study and find out about this chaste robe. For every man, when Yahweh wrath come upon the earth, it says every man shall turn to his own people and flee into his own land. And when you start seeing this, the wrath of Yah is on earth. And you're going to see it with your own eyes in the nearest of time to come. And you're going to see people fleeing like the chaste robe. This is how fast this man was. Because if you're not like a chaste robe, this is what's going to happen in the 15th verse.
Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword.
Yeah, everyone that is found shall be thrust through. See, you're going to be found because you're not going to be able to flee fast enough. And everyone that is joined unto them, in other words, refuse to leave, shall fall by the sword. You should have left. You should have heeded the warning. You should have got gone. You shouldn't have aligned yourself with this beast that Yah says vengeance is his. So, listen to what I'm telling you. Deliver thyself as the chaste robe, or as Asael, because he was lightfoot, as the wild rope. And what are we bringing to you tonight? What are we telling you? What is the purpose behind all this that we're telling you? It don't matter what you read in the scriptures. You have to know the ways of Yah. You have to know the order of his ways. Because once you know his ways, once you know the order, then you can begin, and not just his order, but his rank and file. How these things rank from 1 to 7. That's all you got is 1 to 7. Because as soon as you start getting to 8, 19, 11, 12, 13, 14, all this doing is repeating. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, all this doing is repeating. To the 2, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. All it's doing is repeating. And you know his order. Last scripture, and I'm going to go to my beautiful brothers and sisters. Please, if you have any comments or questions, call us. 347-838-8963. Hit the number 1 on your phone. Just this last scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. All this is just to show you the ways of the Most High. And watch what it says in the 12th verse.
Now, Yisrael, what does Yahweh the Elohim require of thee? But to walk, but to fear Yahweh the Elohim.
You notice the very first thing he tells you is to fear Yahweh the Elohim. And what is the fear of Yah? Isn't that wisdom? That's wisdom. And then the very next thing it tells you to do is what?
To walk in all his ways.
How many of his ways?
All
his ways. And why is that number two? And how can you walk in his ways and you don't even know his ways? And the reason why it's number two is because you cannot walk in the way, all the ways of the Most High without having understanding. That's why the scriptures say wisdom is the principal thing, but with all that getting gets understanding. You cannot walk in his ways. To walk in his ways just means to do it. You got to, you just can't walk by just sitting. You can't walk by looking. You got to walk by doing. That's why the scripture says, and understanding is to depart from evil. In other words, that's something you have to do. Thirdly, it says what?
And to love him.
You got to love him. To love Yah is to hate evil. And that takes knowledge. Go ahead.
And to serve Yahweh, thy Elohim, with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
Yeah, you got to serve him with all your heart. And with all your souls, how else can you praise Yah if you don't love him with all your heart and with all your soul?
To keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good.
Don't you see? You don't see Yah's order. You don't see his ways. This is what we're trying to bring to you. And once you begin to learn, and once you begin to see it, then we know you have wisdom. And once you begin to do it, then we know you will depart from evil because you have understanding. When you read about these men, you think you're reading about superheroes. But little do our people know, we all can be superheroes. Because we are the servants of Yah. All we have to do is trust in him and keep all of his ways. This is what we're bringing to you. Give us a thought, and we will talk about these things. Anyone? Abraham? And I may add, Abraham is working on our board today, and we want everyone to know he brings to you Shalom also. These are the ways of Yah. Yah said the heathen is chief of his ways. And since he's chief of his ways, who's going to stand before him and try to kill him? Who's going to stand before him with the weapon of their choice? You choose the weapon that you would need to slay Behemoth. You choose the weapon. Would it be a sword? Would it be a gun? Would it be a spear? What would it be? Well, the weapon I would choose is wisdom. Give me wisdom. Then I know I will have victory. But who wants wisdom? I just want you to see something about the ways of the Most High. If you really want to know the Most High, and there are those who really want to know the Most High, and Yahweh knows those that really, really want to know Him, like His servant. Watch what Yahweh's servant adds Yahweh. Go to the book of Exodus 33. You ask the average man, well, what can I give you? To make you strong, to make you a weapon of war. One man might say, I want to learn just what them, the jitsu. Another man said, I want to know judo. I want to know karate. I want to know how to flip in the air and kick and touch somebody, touch a part of their body where they fall out like the angel did to Jacob. Just touch the hollow of his thigh. Well, how do you think the angel was able to do it? These are the things that we must know. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Well, who wants wisdom as their chief thing? We pray for wisdom. People pray for wisdom all the time. But y'all really know that you really don't want it. Because if you really did want it, then you will search for it as if your life depended on it. It will be greater, so great. I said go to Exodus, but let me go to Proverbs one more time so you can see that I'm telling you the truth, that you really don't want this thing, even though many people pray for it. Watch what it says in the book of Proverbs. We'll come back to Exodus 33. Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Watch what it says in the 10th and 11th verse.
Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it.
In other words, anything that you desire, and a lot of people desire a husband, a lot of people desire money, a lot of people desire life. A lot of people desire to be healed. A lot of people desire so many things. But how many people just desire wisdom? Since nothing can be compared to it anyway. whatever you desire, it can't be compared to wisdom. So what sense does it make to desire it more than wisdom? And look what Moses received in Exodus 33. In the book of Exodus 33, and we're going to start reading the 12th verse.
And Moses said unto Yah, see thou hast saved unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way.
And that's all we've been talking about tonight, is the ways of Yah. And Moses says, show me now thy way,
that I may know thee.
Now, Moses, well, I want to know you. And I know I will know you if you just show me your way.
That I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people.
Yeah, I want to find grace in thy sight. I want true grace in thy sight.
And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For whence, wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?
How is it going to be known if your presence don't go with us? How will it be known that we have found grace in thy sight? How is the world going to know this thing?
Is it not in that thou goest with us?
In other words, the only way that people are going to know, the world going to know that we found grace in thy sight, is it not in that thou goest with us?
So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth.
Because if your presence go with us, then we're going to know. Then the world is going to know that we are separated from all the people that are on the face of the earth.
And Yah said unto Moshe, I will do this thing, also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name.
And I'm going to, so Yahweh said, I'm going to do what you asked me to do, because truly you found grace in my sight.
And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory.
He said, show me thy glory. Because his glory contained everything about the Most High. But who can do what dare ask for that? And watch what happens.
And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of Yah before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy.
Why? Because all his goodness is contained in his glory. That's where his goodness is. And that's what Moses is going to see. Then watch what it says.
Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live.
Yeah, because my goodness, my glory, my grace, my mercy is so good, for goodness sake, you will die if you see my face. Where do you think my goodness come from? Where do you think my glory come from? And watch what he said, 21st verse.
And Yahweh said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by.
You notice him saying, while my face passeth by, because he didn't have to see his face, he has to see his glory. So he said, while my glory passeth by, now his glory come from his face. But watch what it says.
That I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by.
And see, while he passed by, what Moses was able to see, he was able to see Yahweh's goodness.
And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen.
And since he was able to see Yahweh's goodness, he was able to see the inner works of Yahweh. Who can see that? The inner works of Yahweh. And Yahweh showed Moses his inner self. He said, all my goodness shall pass before thee. And what is the goodness? What is this thing that Moses sees? Well, Moses seen the very thing that you and I better hope to see. And that is the way of Yah. And by now you should know his way. By now you should know the chief of the ways of Elohim. And we're going to continue to bring his order. Because without his order, then everything is out of order. The Almighty said his salvation is near to come. And his righteousness to be revealed. So it is our hope. It is our prayer. That the words that we're speaking to you today have meaning and purpose to you so that you can finally understand, so that you finally can know. Yah. And his word. And until next week, y'all love you, and so do I. Shalom.